Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top, and how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. You ever meet somebody, friends, and the more you hang out with them, the more you just like them? You can't put your finger on it. You just know they have an amazing energy and they have the ability to make you smile. That, for me, is Christy Cannon. Since 1985, Christy has been running through the residential real estate industry and leaving her mark. Currently, this team is selling over 750 homes a year, but her journey to get there, it is an amazingly unique one. Friends, buckle up and get ready. This is Christy Cannon. Christy, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jason. It is so good to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
It is an honor for us to have you. Now, I'm absolutely your biggest fan. Everyone knows I'm your fanboy on the planet. Everyone knows this. 750 units in a year.
Yes.
My head explodes when I hear that. And I want to talk all about it. But before we do, I want to, how did we get here? Did you go to college for real estate? Are you like me who went from high school to real estate? How did we end up here today?
So, okay, we're going to go way back. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
We're going back to eighth grade.
Wow.
Because I feel like life is a journey and life is a building block of opportunity, and it's what we make of it, and it's how we perceive things. And if we perceive things that, oh my gosh, this happened to me and it's so bad, and that's how we carry our life forward, that's what we can expect going forward is bad. But if we perceive things as an opportunity and a building block and a growth opportunity from that, then that's how our life is going to go forward. And so I say we're going to go all the way back to eighth grade, because I grew up in the country and rode horses and dirt bikes. And so dirt biking, loved it.
Really?
Loved it. And I had an XR80. It was actually my brother's, but he never rode it. So I rode it all the time. And being an animal lover, I was going down a gravel paved road one day and a dog ran out in front of me on the XR80. And I panicked and I locked up both brakes. Well, what happens on a motorcycle when you lock up both brakes? Exactly. You flip over the front. So I flipped over the front and I landed on my face without a helmet. This was the 80s. So this dates me a little bit. This was the 80s. Landed on my face and I skid down that dirt road, completely unconscious. And a little girl happened to see it happen. And so her dad had to pick me up out of the road and get me onto their driveway. And I completely ripped everything off my face, the left-hand side of my body. And I was in the hospital for a month and broke arms. And so I missed the entire second semester of my eighth grade because I was at home. I was healing. I had 300 stitches. I had broken bones. And from that, this was in the 80s. Okay. Plastic surgery was just not a thing. It was not a thing. So I had multiple reconstructive surgeries from that in order to put everything back together. And so that's kind of where all of this starts. I feel like eighth grade, come on, we're in middle school. I have 300 stitches. I was horribly grotesque. And it was awful. And so the kids were, you know, I was Frankenstein. I didn't have a face anymore. My limbs fell off. I mean, all of the things that were being said, it was tough. So going into ninth grade, into high school, having come from that and then growing through that and going. So that was kind of the start of how am I going to perceive life? How am I going to do things? So I decided after having, I mean, you can still see scars. You can still see all of the things from this. And so I decided that after I got out of high school, I went into modeling.
What? That's my backup plan in case real estate doesn't work. So, this is amazing.
So I went into modeling and you have no idea how many no's. No, we would have to do too much airbrushing. No, we don't have the ability to touch that up. No, 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 no. So rejection, I mean, right from the get-go. So I ended up partnering with a department store and they started flying me out to different states. They started flying me out and having me do all of their back end, like for buyers, where I would take the dresses and I would select the models and we would just do these little back end shows. I did little commercials, nothing fancy, but I was doing what I wanted to do. And this was right after high school as we were going into things. And so the rejection from that and just trying to overcome what had happened, I think me wanting to go into that, it wasn't because I wanted to be a superstar. It was because I wanted to prove to myself that I'm okay. I'm not these things that everybody defined me to be. That's not who I am. And that's not who I'm going to allow myself to be. So that was it. I did that for a little while, ended up managing a showroom at the Apparel Mart and just, you know, just trying to figure out where do I want to go in life. Didn't go to college. I went from high school to into this. And then I told my mom, you know, I think real estate. And again, this was before real estate was glamorous. This was before it had a big name to it. And my mom said, oh, no. Oh, no. She came from the title world. And she said, no. And she said, if you go into real estate, I am not helping you. That is, you know, you, that is not where you should not do that. You will fail. And so again, I was like, challenge accepted.
Yeah. I was just going to say the greatest way to motivate you is to tell you, you can't do
it. Yeah. So I'm going to take the route that, you know, I'm not going to let somebody tell me no, and I'm not going to let somebody define who I am or who I become. Because again, each of these things that have happened, I believe it builds character and it defines, you know, who we become. And I could have chose to take that negative path and I could have chose to just stick my head in the sand, play ostrich the rest of my life and just bury myself in grief and despair and, you know, all these things because of what's happened. But you take the other side of it and how do you learn from it? How do you grow from it? And so after my mom said no, went into real estate. And this was back in it was probably late 90s that all of this happened. And got my license and ended up going to work for a development company. And it was residential development. So going through all of that, learning all of the back end, learning the infrastructure, doing 800-page contracts, working with attorneys, putting together land deals, and learned how to run performas, learned how to run a business, learned how to run all of the operational side of things. It was a very small development company, kind of a one-man band, but very large in perspective as far as everything that they did. So I started doing all of it. I had my hand in everything. I was looking at everything. I mean, running every bit of it from streets to performas to 20-year outlooks to creating schools and city parks. And it was fun, but there was something lacking. And that was the people side of it. I was with the attorneys. I was doing 800-page contracts. And so I told the developer, I said, I love this. And I've made these great relationships with all the builders. And I feel like I want to be on the other side of things. I want to help people get into all these homes. And so I had the support of the developer. I had the support of the builders. I knew a lot of the builders from that point. And they were all wicked supportive. They said, if you need something, let us know. And took my first step into residential real estate. And that was in 2004 with Keller Williams.
Have you noticed a pattern? Have you noticed that in almost every single one of our shows, the interviewee says the word grit? And the, by the way, we're running out of other synonyms for it. That at the end of the day, there is something behind every one of the people that we've spoken with. And it's whatever happened in their story or whatever happened in their mind, and they all credit grit. And what's interesting to me is they usually credit grit above intelligence, above God-given abilities, above almost anything else. They're left saying one single thing. I decided that I was going to be an immovable object. I decided that no matter what it was going to take, that's what I was going to do. Gary Keller told me that the secret to life, he read a book. He gave us all this book to read, and it said the secret to life, to getting the things you want, is being willing to do whatever it takes to get it. That's grit. And just notice, it keeps showing up. Well, in some ways, I mean, grit, like you learned grit. Like you are a grinder. And yeah. You have to have a ton of internal strength to get through what you did, which I'm guessing shows up in where you sit today. So as you sit today, you know, you're mega agent, giant team, 750, 800 units on an annual basis. What is it that y'all absolutely crush that allows that sort of success to happen?
So I think it really does come down to drive. We both, Kevin's a big part of this, my husband, and both of us grew up. We didn't grow up with silver spoons, trust fund. We both grew up and it wasn't the easiest of lives. And so I think both of us, he's had his hardships as well. So I think between my hardships, his hardships together, we want to make a difference. We want to build a legacy. We want to build something that other people can find success through.
So how does that manifest itself? Because if I'm sitting out there, imagine this, right? We have a broad audience across all industries, but predominantly real estate people, and they're all driving in their car right now. That's what they're doing. They're all in their Tahoes and their Tesla, and they're sitting there and they're like, okay, I want that success. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing 750, 800 units. I get I have to be driven. How do you do it?
So it's, I think every day it's structuring your day. If I could come in, I could come into my office every single day without any type of time blocking, without my calendar. I could come in every day, sit in my office, and my office would occupy 99% of my day because I would have people coming in going, hey, what about this? Hey, I wanted to tell you about this great thing. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what this seller did. I could allow my office to occupy 99% of my time through just that. Hey, how do I say this? How do I do that? How do I get this business? Who do I call today? We have 60 agents. And if I allowed my office to occupy my day every day, we would never take steps forward. We would be going backwards. So my office knows. They're like, oh, she's got her laser goggles on. They know. When it's focus time. And that is our growth time. If I don't set aside at least 3 to 4 hours a day, and usually I do that in the morning, and then I let
Walk me through your day. So if we're going to talk about this, let's talk about it. And I don't want the old, I wake up at 4 a.m., meditate, levitate to the top of a mountain, pray. Nope. If you do that, by the way, that's great. And I don't want the miracle morning. I want Christie's morning. What does it look like?
So I am not a 4 a.m. person. Let's just go there first. I don't want to get up at 4 a.m.
100% agree with you. So when do you usually get to the office? What do you do?
So my morning is I normally get up about 6:30, and it's between 6:30 and 7. And if I feel like sleeping in a little bit and I don't want to do I am not a exercise person, but I will do a yoga or a stretch or a quick little something like 15, 20 minutes max. I would love to say I go for a walk every morning and I do all these things, but I don't. I have a 14-year-old daughter. And so I do my quick little thing in the morning and get myself ready, make sure she's getting ready. I normally get to the office because her drop-off is between 8:30 and 8:45. So I normally get into the office at 9 o'clock. And I do come into the office every day. And I feel like we're much more productive every day at the office. Because if I work from home, I have a housekeeper coming in. I have Amazon. I have UPS. I have, who knows, trying to sell me something at the front door. It's so distracting. And then I get distracted with, oh, I'm just going to do this really quick, or I'm going to open this up really quick. It's very distracting. So I like coming into the office every day. I feel like home is a huge distraction, and I can come into the office. And I also have other people who are like-minded in the office that if I want to bounce something off of someone, if I want to redo something, our staff, our team is here with us and we do it together. We have a few people that work from home, but for the most part, our team is, it creates a synergy and it creates an excitement and it creates that camaraderie and that culture when we're all together. We encourage our agents, hey, come into the office. You don't have to come in every day. Come in for a few hours a day. Come in 1 or 2 days a week. But again, it's creating that camaraderie and that culture and that togetherness where we all grow arm in arm, because arm in arm, we can create a way bigger footprint together than we can alone.
So what do you do? And what do you do when you're there?
So I come in, I usually get here about 9 o'clock, and I immediately, I've already reviewed my day from the night before. So I immediately put my laser goggles on and get into activity. It's about, what are my 3 big rocks for the day? And what am I supposed to do? So I'm going to show you. I use written book, a full focus planner every day. And I use the heck out of it. I put everything in here. I plan my week. I plan my quarter.
Okay, friends, you can't see it, but she's holding up. It's literally just a book with blank pages. It's a journal, and you're writing with a pen. Our millennials right now, by the way, are driving off the bridge. They can't believe you're still using a pen. It's embarrassing.
Every day. So yes, it's embarrassing, but look how full that is.
And you can't see, friends, but this is the book of a crazy person. I mean, there's literally not a single inch on that page that didn't have writing on it.
Every day. Because what happens is when you think of something, I don't want to do it that minute, but I want to do it later. I write it down. That way I can time block for it and continue working on and finishing whatever it was that I started. Because too many times we'll start 20 things in a day and we'll get them 80% done and we never complete them. And that's a direct reflection on our business. A lot of us have businesses that are 80% there. We're just not quite there. And it's that last 20%, that full focus of what you really need to drive into to make it happen, to become 100% functional and have your business running like clockwork.
Are the big rocks, the 3 big rocks, kind of the same each day, or do they change? No, they change.
They change. Every day they change. Here's the thing. Am I working on something that is going to push our business forward? Am I working on something that is going to make our business better? Or am I working on something that somebody else should be working on? And that's where a lot of us get into, and I've struggled with this through the years. What am I doing right now? Can someone else do this? And most of the years past, it took me a long time, and I still struggle with it. I need to be leveraging this off to a team member because they can probably do it better and faster than I can. And a lot of times I try and a lot of us do this, hold control of that because we don't feel that it's going to get done as good or better than we can do it.
This makes perfect sense to me. So you get in the morning with complete laser focus of the things that are the highest and best use of your time, and you work them until completion.
Yes. Yes. And you don't stop. And that's why in 2004, when I first started in real estate, I was rookie of the year at that KW office. And it's because I was, well, again, we're going to go back to those building blocks of life. I started in 2004. So 2001, Kevin was in the Army and he got shipped off to Afghanistan and he was gone for a year. And so then he came back and he was still in the Army getting things, you know, kind of getting things wrapped up. Well, I decided to start real estate. And he goes, you know, we're not really making that much money and you're going into a commission only position. And I said, I think that I can do two deals a month. I think I can pull off two deals a month. I'll be really happy with 24 deals a year. So my little 24 deals a year, as we started growing and as we started kind of going through things, he was getting a degree at Texas A&M from George Bush School of Government for Homeland Security. He got his master's in that. He has an associate's in Russian. He has all of these crazy degrees. He was going to open up a government consulting firm. So in 2007, he said, I think I'm going to go with you to Vegas to family reunion, not because I like real estate, but because it's Vegas.
I had a dollar for every time I heard that story.
So he went with me, heard Gary Keller speak, and he was like, this is kind of cool. And I said, yeah, it's really cool. That's why I've been doing it. And he said, I didn't realize that this was not just a hobby job. I'm realizing this is a career.
Okay, don't be triggered by the fact that Christy's husband says, oh my gosh, this whole real estate thing isn't a hobby. This might actually be a career. I want you to know that's more common than you think. And here's what I know. All the missing people in our lives, the ones that we need in our businesses, they're right in front of us. They're the people that are in our data banks. In Christy's case, it's her husband. He's got all these amazing skills and he's sitting right there. So why isn't he in the business with her from day one? He had to have his moment. When you bring people along on the journey, they tend to get to where you want to end up. If you don't bring them along, you get there and they don't. Here's my question for you. Who is in your database right now that could literally come in and change your business or change your life? Is that person literally sitting across the kitchen table from you every day? Or is it a past client from 3 years ago? All the leverage we need is right there. The question, will you invite them to go on the greatest journey in the world, which is your life with you? Or are you helping them without being on that journey? There's no wrong answer, but Christy forces us to think. Are we inviting the people that are closest to us along on our journey? Number one. Number two, who in our database do we need to be talking about our businesses with? And most importantly, number three, do you know where you're going? Because if you don't, it's really difficult to invite people to go there with you.
So laser focusing on prospecting. I would prospect every day. It might be 10 hours a day. If I didn't have an appointment, I wouldn't stop that day until I had an appointment because I had to make sure that our family was taken care of until I got a commission check. So every day, some weeks was 7 days a week, it was making sure that I had the ability to provide for the family during that time. So it wasn't an option. It was a must.
So how do you, so today, because I totally get waking up and feeding your mind with the right stuff. I totally get grit and drive. I totally get focusing on the big rocks. How do you produce enough leads to sell 750 houses? Like,
okay, so here's where, this is where I start getting a little fiery and passionate because our database has 50,000 people in it. And that's from everyone that I've met since 2004, every transaction, every person, every referral is in that database. And based on our database, we should be closing 1,700 deals a year out of 50,000. We should be able to turn off that spigot of lead flow, and we should be able to serve our database alone through 36 touch, through day-to-day communication, but we don't.
Why not?
Because not everybody has that drive and that grit and that motivation.
Okay, let's pretend I do. What do I do right now?
sit down, get into the database, and I call it, so our team has a big joke. They all cheers and take a shot every time I say follow up and follow through. It's that simple. Follow up and follow through. I've said it so many times throughout the years. They're like, cheers.
What does it mean? I mean, I get it. We've created a whole drinking game around you. And by the way, that will persist throughout this show. So everyone play along at home. What does follow up and follow through mean?
So follow up and follow through. This is about building those relationships. And you don't have to be a master at talking points. You don't have to be a master of conversation. You just have to be a master of providing value. How can I help you? Understanding someone's story. Do they own a house? Do they want to own a house? Great. You want to own a house. Awesome. Let's talk about this. This is where interest rates are at right now. Let's go through a calculator and see what that looks like. What is your purchasing power today? What do you need? What do you have saved? Let's walk this through. Let's outline this. If you can't buy today, let's look at what that looks like. Okay, awesome. You don't have to share your finances with me, but how much do you need to save each month going forward? And then it's about understanding and helping people. When I bought my first house, I was taken advantage of by an agent. And again, I think this goes back to part of wanting to be in real estate, making sure when you do the right thing, you're going to get the right results. And this is a people, it's you're serving, you're providing value. And I love helping people. I want to help them overcome. I want to help them achieve. I want to help them find that American dream.
I'm going to fight the urge to complicate it by even continuing the discussion, because I'm never going to improve on what you just said. You said we're servant leaders and we help people.
Yes.
And everyone wants to complicate it, but it's simply contacting people and asking, how can I help you?
Yes.
And okay, so last question before we get into the lightning round. Why is everybody else making this so damn complicated?
Because it's not, they overcomplicate it when it's so simple. You just sit down and you have these conversations. We have all of the tools and resources through Command. We have all of these amazing tools and resources, but people want to try and they're always looking for the bigger, the better, the easier. What can I do to, I don't want to sit down and talk to people. I don't want to do that. What can I do? Instead of just going out there and trying to find ways, it's so basic.
Gary Keller and Jay Papasan write the book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent with Dave Jenks. And if you're new to the show, that's the namesake of our show. And in it, they say, this is really simple. You create a database, you add people to it every day, you feed it in a systematic way, and you provide value. And if you do that, you're done. Everything else is conversation.
Yes.
And that's what you're teaching us. Christy, I love the simplicity and I love your clarity. I love your grit. I love your drive. We would like to invite you to join us in the lightning round. Now, we will ask you a series of questions. We want the first thing that comes to your mind. Will you join us?
This is going to show how much of a genius I am not right now.
Christy, what is your favorite color?
Pink.
What is your favorite food?
Mexican.
Stop the lightning round. It's so good. Isn't it so good?
I could eat it every day.
Every day. And although it's often the same ingredients prepared differently, it's so good.
Every day. Yes. Yes.
Commence the lightning round. What's your favorite sound? What sound do you love to hear?
A running shower.
Stop the lightning round. We've asked that question to so many people. Never have we received that answer. I just want you to know, back into the round. So you listen to podcasts other than this show and some of the others. Is there a podcast that you would tell our audience you really enjoy and they might want to give a listen?
The Millionaire Real Estate Agent with Jason Abrams.
There it is. Friends, if you can't improve on it, you just always say the host who's interviewing you at the time. It's a great strategy. Is there a book that you've read or that you've listened to? Doesn't have to be your favorite. It doesn't have to be the newest that you just, it played an impact in your life and you think our audience should check it out.
Absolutely. And I've gone back and listened to it time and time again. There's a revised version of it. Mike Malkowitz. And I always want to say Witowski from Monsters, Inc., but Mike Malkowitz, Clockwork. And there's Clockwork Revised Edition. I have gone back and listened to it time and time again, because it's about making our, it, what I do today is so different than what I did 10 years ago. 10 years ago as an agent, I was out there with the families doing all of the things. Now I'm trying to make a business run and trying to help create opportunity within and trying to make things run smoothly and streamlining everything. And so listening to this book has been huge. I had it on actually this morning, listening to it again, because every time I listen to it, I pick up something new that I write down in my Remarkable that I want to implement and say, we could streamline this even more by doing this process. So that is one of my go-tos. And I think I've got all of his books on my Audible.
Christy Cannon, you are a friend to all real estate agents and an absolute juggernaut in an industry full of juggernauts. Thank you for everything you're doing for the industry.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Very grateful.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's why I do this show. I've been friends with Christy for more than a decade. I did not know the story of her falling off the motorcycle. I see Christy 4 or 5 times a year, give each other a hug. I've never noticed any of the scars that she talked about. I think she's absolutely stunning both inside and out. And I think the way that she describes how her world has evolved is a lesson to all of us. Friends, the things that either happened in your past color the way you feel about the future in a positive or negative way. Whether it's positive or whether it's negative, that's the choice. That's the beauty and that's the genius of Christy Cannon. You see, all of it begins with a choice. Gary Keller is fond of saying that happiness is a choice. It's a gift that you give yourself on a minute-by-minute basis. Nobody can take it from you, and nobody other than you can give it to you. I believe what Christy said is almost the same thing. I look back, things have happened. Did they happen to me, or did they happen for me? The choice is yours. Friends, think about your life and the moments that you've lived through and ask yourself, are they serving you today the way that you remember them, or are they working against you? And then choose to have them serve you. Go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders. But it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.